Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we'll go through the
verse that's on the board,
and then we'll go through the chapter synopsis and just see how it goes. Kaleya dosha nide rajan astiheko mahaguna kirtana deva krishnasya mukha sangha param vijet kaleya dosho nide rajan astiheko mahaguna kirtana deva krishnasya mukha sangha param vijet. You just want to try to chant. Kale of the age of Kali, dosha nide, in the ocean of faults, Rajan, O king, asti, there is, he, certainly, eka, one, mahan, very great, guna, good quality, kirtanat, by chanting, eva, certainly, krishnasya, of the holy name of Krishna, mukta sangha, liberated from material bondage, padam, to the transcendental spiritual kingdom, rajet, one can go. Translation, my dear king, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Jai. Purport. After mentioning the innumerable faults of this age of Kali, Sukadev Goswami now mentions its one brilliant aspect. Just as one powerful king can kill innumerable thieves, one brilliant spiritual quality can destroy all contaminations of this age. It is impossible to overcome the importance, of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, especially in this age. And then there's supposed to read one more verse for today. Just double check. Yeah, 52. I'll just read through it in the translation and the purport. Kriteya jayato vishnum kritayam yatato mukai vapare paricha ya yam kalota dari kritanat. I think I know that verse. Translation. Whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dvapara Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet can be attained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Purport. A similar verse is found in the Vishnu Purana 6.2.17 and also in the Padma Purana, Uttara Kanda 72.25 and the Nabrihad Naradiya Purana 38.97. Jayan kate yajan yajais chaitayan dvapara rachan tadapnoti tadapnoti kalo sankitya keshavam. One time I was doing a marriage and Jayadvaita Swami was there, and Ridayananda Maharaj was there, and I was the one that was performing the marriage ceremony. And Ridayananda looked over me after I said the first mantra, and he said, I'll do the mantras, and the people who are supposed to hear them will understand what's being said, because what you're saying is not, doesn't fit. So he had to tolerate my lack of Sanskrit talent. Translation, whatever is achieved by meditation in Satya Yuga, by performance of sacrifice in Treta Yuga and by worship of Lord Krishna's lotus feet in Dvapara Yuga is attained in the age of Kali simply by glorifying the name of Lord Keshavam. Srila Jiva Goswami has further quoted from the Brahma Vivarta Purana concerning the degraded condition of people in Kali Yuga. Aha kalo tapo yoga vidya yagya dika kriya Sangha bhavati na krita kushalayar api dehibi. Thus, in this age of Kali, the practices of austerity, yoga, meditation, deity worship, sacrifice, and so on, along with their various subsidiaries, functions, are not properly carried out, even by the most expert embodied soul. Srila Jiva Goswami has also cited the Chaturmasya Mahatmya of the Skandhya Purana concerning the necessity of chanting Hare Krishna in this age. Tata chaivo tamo tamam loke tapta sa shri hari kirtanam kalo yuge visheshena vishnu prityai samacharet. In this way, the most perfect penance to be executed in the world is the chanting of the name of the Lord, chanting of the name of Lord Shri Hari, especially in the age of Kali. One can satisfy the Supreme Lord Vishnu by performing Sankirtan. In conclusion, mass propagation should be made all over the world to induce people to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, by which human society can be reduced from the dangerous ocean of the age of Kali. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the 12th canto, 3rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Bhumi Gita. Om Agyanatam Anandasha Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshuramunitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namaha. So these are famous verses from the Bhagavatam. And it's nice that they come after that description of Kali Yuga. When you read the effects of the age of Kali, it's almost like one can become hopeless. It's very heavy. Practically one would think, I have no hope because the age is so degraded. And we can see, as Sesha was saying yesterday in his class, that a lot of these things have become manifested already
in our lifetime. I remember when I was a young boy, my grandfather used to say, oh, things have changed so much. And I would think, well, nothing's changed. Everything seems to be the same to me. Now I'm the age where I could be a grandfather, and I'm thinking so many things have changed. And it's a fact that things are not going up, they are actually going down. People's consciousness is actually, although they may be a little more inclined to some things which we, you know, to yoga or meditation or to, they're getting to understand, you know, that eating is a very important part of their lifestyle. I remember when I was a university student and I decided to stop eating meat, I told my mother, and she told me that if I would go, she would pay for the psychiatrist. That she was convinced I'd went crazy for, you know, as a college student to not eat meat. Nowadays, a couple of years ago, I was on an airplane, and they came to give me, they came up to the, what do they call the people that work on the airplane? The flight attendant. Flight attendant came up on the aisle and said, Mr. Maven, you have a special meal? And I said, yes, I'm a vegetarian. And the guy next to me says, oh man, I wished I could do that. He had no ability in his heart to like give up that austere or consider that too austere to give up being a vegetarian, just to give up eating meat, you know. In fact, when I was working in the summertime in between semesters, I worked with some laborers, and I was a vegetarian, and they would tease me all the time. And then they would ask me, well, if you were in charge of the country, what would you do? And I said, I would shut down all the slaughterhouses. I just wouldn't allow it anymore. I would just close all the slaughterhouses, and that would be it. And one of the rednecks jumped up and he said, if I couldn't eat meat every day, I wouldn't go to work anymore. Like that was a big deal. That's a laborer's comment, you know, I won't work, you know, laborers are meant to work. So it's described here that, my dear Lord, my dear King, although Kali is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about the age. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become freed of all material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. So we have this Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahagni Nirvarpanam, that this chanting of Hare Krishna, it cleanses the heart. It cleanses the heart of all the unwanted things. There are literally unlimited anarthas in the heart. And as one begins to chant Hare Krishna, he'll become aware, the person will become aware of what's actually inside. And it is a very revealing experience to realize how much dust is actually in the heart. The example is given that if you go to the attic, which we do about once every semester here, I don't know if you've done it yet, go to the attic and do the attic cleaning. It's nice and neat. The dust is all settled real nice and neat. And once you start cleaning, then the dust starts to fly up. So in the same way, when we start to chant Hare Krishna, the dust that's sitting on the heart for lifetime after lifetime actually begins to float up, and we begin to understand, oh my goodness gracious, there's a lot of stuff inside here that I never knew was there. And the more you chant Hare Krishna, the more you realize how far you have to go. I remember when I first started chanting Hare Krishna, I thought it was going to be a couple weeks. Now 40 years later, I'm wondering, you know, am I going to make it in this lifetime? We actually have to have faith that Krishna will be there for us at the time of death. That in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada and Krishna explain that yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyagyat yante kalevaram, that whatever state of being one is in at the time of death, wherever their consciousness is at that time, to that state they'll attain without fail. So in the commentary, Prabhupada mentions that remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul, that one has to have undergone some purification of the heart in order to remember Krishna at the time of death, because this smaranam, this remembrance of Krishna, does not come just automatically. It's not like one can think, let me do, and Prabhupada mentions this, no, let me do all nonsense throughout my life, and then at the last moment I'll just go Hari Bol, and then that'll be it. Because you won't be able to go Hari Bol. I remember one time when I used to work with the Gurukulis. For many years I ran Gurukul for like 10, 11 years. And one time we went canoeing for Krishna. And we did all kinds of things for Krishna, canoeing, surfing, this thing, that thing for Krishna. And we made all the boys wear life jackets, and we went over some, there's only one place in Florida that has white water, and that's where we went. And it's only about, the white water area only is about as long as our property. It may be that long. Maybe that, it's just a little ripple. But anyway, the canoe tipped over, and because he had his life jacket on, he was trapped underneath the canoe. So I was counting, as soon as the canoe went over, I started counting heads. I'm a teacher, you know, how many are there, how many are there. One was missing, so I remember I swam out to the thing and I lifted up the canoe, and the first thing that came out of his mouth wasn't Hare Krishna. And if he had died in the consciousness he was in for what he said after he came out of the water, he would have taken birth as a worm in stool. Or some kind of stool. And I said, that's not quite what we're supposed to do, Prabhu. We're supposed to chant Hare Krishna. So this remembrance of Krishna, it doesn't come easy. It doesn't come easy. It has to. We have to endeavor. There's the story of Damodar Leela, where Yashoda Mai was trying to bind Krishna. She was trying to bind Krishna up. And she was chasing Krishna. She was chasing, chasing, chasing. And every time she tried to just about get Krishna, Krishna would just get away. She just couldn't quite get him. And then finally, she was putting out the effort. So there's two things that are necessary. This effort is necessary. We must chant our mantras very, very, you know, carefully. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We chant this very, very carefully, and then we gotta get the mercy of Krishna. When the mercy potency of Krishna takes over, then all other potencies go away, and one gets the actual real benefit, real, you know, connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at that time, Lord Krishna allowed Mother Yashoda to capture him. And then she went to bind him. And it was so much effort, so much effort, so much effort, so much effort. Always two fingers too short. No matter how much rope was there, always two fingers too short. Mercy and endeavor. These two things that need to be there. So then she was endeavoring and endeavoring, and finally Krishna, because the endeavor was so great, his mercy potency of it in his heart took over, and Mother Yashoda was allowed to bind him. Of course, then we know that once he was bound, he tore down the two twin Arjun trees, and the story goes on. So, these things are necessary, that even though it's an age of fault, and we can understand that to chant Hare Krishna in a pure state of mind, in a humble state of mind, Trinada peace, Anicca na, Tarora peace, Sahishna na, Amane na, Manade na, Kirtaniya sada hari, that to chant this Hare Krishna in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. You see the straw in the street. It's always being stepped on. If you step on anybody in the material world, they'll act like what animal? Snake. Yep. Just like a snake. They'll jump up and bite you. You just say one thing a little bit derogatory. You say anything to me a little derogatory. The first thing that comes to my mind is defense. There are four propensities. Anybody remember the four propensities? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And of all these four, defending is the most prominent. It's the most prominent quality. So as soon as you get stepped on just a little bit, immediately the head will come up and say, what do you mean? What are you trying to do? So we have all these propensities. We have this nature in this material world, and it can become nullified by the chanting of Hare Krishna. We just make the endeavor. Every day we have this mantra to chant, and we have to chant it with full concentration, full sincerity, just full absorption. And by doing so, then we'll become cleansed at heart. We'll get a little humility. We chant with a little humility, thinking that yes, what qualification do I actually have? You know, when you take a look at it, I remember when I joined the Hare Krishna movement, my friend said, I can't believe this person actually became a religious person. That's how far gone I was. That even my best friends thought, this is impossible. How could this person become religious? So, the idea is that we come with so much baggage, and we have all this stuff inside the heart. So we should be very humble. We should be humble. We should humbly chant the Hare Krishna mantra, knowing that we're going to be stepped on, and be more tolerant than the tree. The tree is a very good example, because the tree gives fruits and flowers to everyone. It gives shade to everyone. And even if you go to chop it down, it does not protest. It doesn't protest. And even when it's been chopped down, it gives its body in the form of fuel wood to be burned. So the tree is very, very tolerant. So we take these two analogies there. Then, not wanting any honor for ourselves. That's very difficult, huh? And to not want any, to think that you're humble and tolerant, that's one thing. Then to think that, you know, I don't want any praise, I don't want any, nobody to think that I'm a learned scholar and stuff like that, or a learned this, or cool that, or this, that, something. Something's got to be good about me. And it's not like a self-esteem problem, it's a false ego problem. And then, Kirtaniya Sadahari, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. One can constantly chant the holy name of the Lord if he takes on this mentality. So, Cheta Darpanam Arjanam Bhava Mahani Nirvarpanam, that a cleansing of the heart takes place. And it reveals one's true identity in relationship to Krishna. One will actually understand who he is in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the nice thing is that nam nama kari bahu janija sarva shakti tatarpita niyamit nitan smaranena kalaha. Again, this kala, in this age of Kali, there are hundreds and thousands of names of God, hundreds and millions of names of God. There is no limit to the names of God. Just like we have different names that we're going by. Sometimes the Guru Kalis, they call me Maharaj. They wished I was a Maharaj sometimes when I come around, because usually they're doing nonsense, and they wished I was actually just a Maharaj. So, or some people call me Maharaj, some people call me Ritabhaja Swami, some people call me Hey Dude, some people call me this, some people that. It just depends on your relationship with the person. So imagine Krishna has unlimited living entities that he's created, and each and every one of those living entities has a relationship with Krishna. So Krishna has a different name for each and every relationship that he has. And even with some people, he has more than one name for the because they have more than one type of relationship. So there are unlimited names of God. When Srila Prabhupada was in Iran, he told them, teach your fellow country people to chant Allah. They'll get benefit from it. Prabhupada was not sectarian. He said, just teach them to chant Allah, 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 or whatever they say, Allah Akbar, whatever it is. He was very tolerant to even allow the Islamic people to chant their local name of God, as we say, chant your local name of God. It's not that you can make up a God, but any authorized name of God is bona fide. So we have unlimited names of God. Nam nama kari bahu janija sarva shakti. And all Krishna's energy, sarva shakti. All Krishna's potency is present within the name. All Krishna's potency is there, and there's no lack within the name of God. The only lacking is us. Nam nama kari bahu janija sarva shakti tatarpita niyamita smarane nakalaha. And there are no hard and fast rules. But once you come to the Krishna, what is this called? Bhakti? Vaishnava Bhakti Academy, right? I saw it on the, I have it on my book. Once you come to the Bhakti Academy, you realize there are all kinds of rules and regulations for chanting Hare Krishna. First, we have four basic principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating. These are the four basic principles that are there. These are the four pillars of spiritual life. No illicit sex means no, means cleanliness. No gambling means truthfulness. No meat eating means mercy. And no intoxication means austerity. So religious life is held up by these four pillars. And we follow these rules and regulations not for just some, you know, whimsical reason, like, you know, like you're in the army and there's they say, you say why, and they say, because I said so. No, we have definite reasons, because they uplift the soul to the point of the mode of goodness. Just like one time Srila Prabhupada mentions that the Christians, they have 10 commandments, and we have 4 regulative principles. He said these things are meant to raise one up to the mode of goodness, to raise one from the mode of passion and ignorance up to the mode of goodness, so that they can actually understand the relationship with Krishna. Because until we come to the mode of goodness, we have a very difficult time understanding scripture, understanding religious practice. So, and in this age, Krishna takes special care. If one just one time approaches him in the age of Kali, he takes very much notice. Because in this age, it's very, very rare that someone takes to Krishna consciousness or spiritual life in general. We learned yesterday that this age is symptomized by people taking to religious practice simply because of social reasons. It becomes a social club. But no, for devotees, it becomes a way of liberation. Every moment is spent, yat karoshi, jat anasi, jat dahosi, dadati yat, that whatever we do, whatever we give away, whatever austerities we perform, whatever we eat, anything we do, anything and everything we do as an act of love for Krishna. And in this way, our heart becomes cleansed. We always think of Krishna. Devotee goes through his day. He does not miss Krishna. He sees Krishna within everything. One time, Srila Prabhupada was walking in Stowe Park in San Francisco in 1968 with the devotees, and it's on the recording. And one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, what's the vision of a pure devotee? How does he see Krishna? Is it like he's seeing Krishna and the gopis dancing together, or is he seeing, like, you know, hundreds and thousands of, like, super souls, like some kind of kaleidoscope, you know, kind of like, you know, super souls merging together or something like that? You know, it was a far out time in history where people were, like, very much, you know, cosmic consciousness and stuff like that. So they were asking Prabhupada, what is it like? What is it like being a pure devotee, and how do you see Krishna? And Prabhupada says, no, it's not like that. He said, just like if I take my glasses and I put my glasses here and then I walk away, somebody will say, Maharaj, you forgot your glasses. You see a pair of glasses, but not only do you see a pair of glasses, but you see me. You see me in the glasses. Why? Because you know that I'm the proprietor of the glasses, so to speak. I'm the secondary proprietor. Krishna's the primary proprietor. I'm secondary proprietor. So I'm the proprietor of the glasses. So not only do you see the glasses sitting there, but you see me sitting there with the glasses. So Prabhupada said in this way, because the devotee knows that everything belongs to Krishna. Everything is owned and controlled by Krishna. Ishavashamidam sarvam jatkin kin jagat jam jagat. That everything is owned and controlled by Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. So a devotee sees everything in relationship to Krishna, because he actually knows that this is Krishna. This is Krishna's material energy. Therefore, he does, just like if you see something, well, hopefully if you see something, my glasses, you won't try to put them on and use them yourself because you need a pair of glasses. You will actually go to try to return it back to the owner. In the same way, we see everything in the material world is owned by Krishna. Therefore, we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we touch, anything, we give that to Krishna. And by doing that, we become Krishna conscious, and automatically Krishna conscious. Automatically become Krishna conscious. So that's the nature of Kali Yuga, that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can become freed from all material bondage. That bondage, but what is that bondage? That bondage is this material body. We're thinking it's such a great gift. Isn't it? We're just, no matter what kind of body, in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, I don't know if you've gone, I think you've probably already gone through it, there's a nice verse in purport where Prabhupada says, no matter what type of body you have, you think it's cool. He doesn't say cool, but that's what he means. You think it's really like, just like the other day I was walking and taking my aerobic walk with Brahma Tirtha, and we saw a purple bug on the ground. And I thought, look at that purple bug. And then I think it was just purple. And it was a bug. And I'm just thinking, what do you have to do to have a desire to take birth where you have to get a body like a purple bug and be at the University of Florida? Track and field, you know, ready to get squished by some runner, you know? No, it's like there's unlimited desires in the heart. There's unlimited types of bodies. And we're bound. That bug is walking around thinking, I'm really cool, I'm purple. He thinks that way. He thinks he's cool. I'll tell you a story. One time we had a student center over at 1208 Southwest First Avenue. And the next house was about that far apart. And so I was sitting in my office and this guy walks into his room. He had just taken a shower and he was dressed and he was combing his hair. So it was a Friday night. He was getting ready to go out on the town. And as he was looking at himself in the mirror, he was nodding, you know, combing his hair and nodding, you know. And then he turns around and he shakes his backside in the mirror. And then he goes like this, yes, this is really good. So he was thinking, yes, I'm really cool. I'm ready for the night, you know. I'm really going to be noticed. So everybody thinks like that. Everybody has this false ego that they think that they're cool in the material world. They think no matter what kind of body you have a body of a dog, it's just like the neighbors of Nittai Gaurasundar up in Tennessee where I stay. The neighbors' dogs, they're just so puffed up, they just bark. When you come to their house, they just bark, 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 bark. They think, this is my house, this is my house, this is my house, this is my house. What are you doing at my house? Just bark, 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 bark. It's unbelievable. And they're thinking that, yes, this is my job, I'm a dog, I'm meant to bark. And we're in this material body and we're thinking that, you know, I'm a student, I'm meant to do this, I'm a this, I'm meant to do that, I'm a this, I'm meant to do that. We're so many illusions. So many illusions. Huh? Whenever I go to a foreign country, I always think, I'm an American in Hong Kong, I'm an American in China, I'm an American in Singapore, I'm an American here. I always think I'm an American. Come on in. Oh, that's her job. Okay. Division of labor. No matter what, I always think I'm American. And I can't get that out of my brain. No matter what I do. I'm always thinking and it's like so weird because I know I'm not American. I know that. I know I'm a spirit soul inside this body. The body just happened to take birth in America. What does that mean? Where am I going to take my next birth? Where did I take birth before this body? Who knows what we were? One time a devotee, when I gave a Sunday feast lecture and in Dallas, and I think in Dallas or Houston, and one of the people in the audience asked if there's reincarnation, why can't we remember our past births so that we remember all the different, you know, the lessons that we learned in our past lifetime? And I said, you do remember your lessons. You remember them. Just like if you're afraid of heights or you're afraid of this or you're afraid of that, you know, you have these different phobias or your different desires. You can tell the likes and dislikes and some things that this is all programmed from your previous life. And just think if you could remember your last life and all your last lives. It'd be, This place is insane to start with, but talk about insanity. It would be to a new limit if you could remember everything. Imagine if you were, who was a rich guy that just died? Anybody rich just die? Somebody, you know. Who? Michael Jackson, okay. He died a couple of years ago. Imagine somebody comes back and, you know, 5 years from now says, "Hey, I'm Michael Jackson. I want my money." And he's living and he's working at, you know, some, you know, what do they call that, minimum wage job, you know, someplace. And he says, no, I'm Michael Jackson. I want my money. You know, I'm a dancer. I'm a singer. And the guy can't dance anymore. He can't sing anymore. He can't do anything anymore. But what do you know? It's a benediction that you don't, you know, or you're a bug in your last time and somebody was chasing you around with a raid can. You know, something was going on. So, you know, you got all these things going on. You know, if you could remember all these different things, you'd go completely nuts. You'd go bananas. So it's a benediction that we don't remember. Prabhupada says it's a gift. We remember in the womb. After 7 months in the womb, we remember that, yes, I was meant to go back to Krishna, but I didn't make it. And you're in there and you're promising. You're in the womb and you're promising, especially in the human form of life. You're promising, when I get out, I promise to go straight. I promise. I won't do it again. I promise. And as soon as you come out, then the trauma of birth, we start out with, what is that called? What's that trauma thing called? Post-traumatic stress, PTSD, everybody has that. Everybody in the whole world that's taken birth has that, because you get that at birth when you come out of the womb and your head becomes like shaped like a banana and it comes out and it's squished together and unbelievable trauma. So we all have post-traumatic stress syndrome. That's what it's called, right? Post-traumatic stress or disorder, yeah. We all have that. And we have to deal with that. So we have this false identification with this material body. We have this false, you know, idea of who we are. But by chanting Hare Krishna in this age of Kali, in previous ages, it's described that there are different things in Satya Yuga by meditation, and Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and Dwapara Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet. One would attain salvation. So in the same way, in this lifetime, in this age, we have this chanting of Hare Krishna. We have this chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And we take advantage of it. And not misuse this human form of life. Take full advantage. So any questions? Comment, yeah. Name first. Sagar, okay. That's what I thought your name was, but I don't remember everybody. I have to ask everybody because I can't remember.
I was wondering if Krishna has unlimited names and all his names have potency, then why do we have this? Why did Lord Chaitanya give the specific Maha Mantra? What is the greatness of? Why is it called Maha Mantra?
Mm-hmm. All names have potency. They contain Krishna's energy. Yes. Why do we have the Maha Mantra? That was given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's described, Aushadiya Maya, that I've come with the Aushadiya, the medicine. He came with the medicine in the form of the Maha Mantra. And this Maha Mantra is a mantra which is made up of 16 words, 32 syllables. And it's... Did I say 32?
Some people say it's Maha.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Rama. Yeah. 32 syllables.